Well, the suspect in Friday's mass murder in Colorado appeared in a courtroom today in Colorado. James Holmes showed little emotion. It was his first court appearance. He sat there seeming dazed with bright red dyed hair. Prosecutors have 72 hours to file formal charges, which may include additional counts of aggravated assault and weapons violations, in addition to first-degree murder. But as Roger Ebert wrote in the New York Times, we've seen this movie before. Not the one on the screen when the shooting occurred, more on the Batman movie later in the program, but the one now playing out on the national stage. On the one side, gun control advocates like New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg demanding that both President Obama and his likely rival Mitt Romney tell us specifically what they're going to do about guns. Gun rights advocates like Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson saying the truth is that if a responsible individual had been carrying a weapon in the theater, they could have prevented these deaths. And then there are the people right down the middle. Colorado's Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper told CNN's Candy Crowley he'd be open to some new gun laws, but he just didn't see an easy way to reconcile this with Second Amendment rights.
I'm happy to look at anything, but it's, again, this person, if there were no assault weapons available, if there were no this or no that, this guy's going to find something, right? He's going to know how to create a bomb. He's going to... I mean, who knows where his mind would have gone? Clearly, a very intelligent individual, however twisted. You know, I don't know. That's the problem. This is a human issue.
As Roger Ebert also writes in his op-ed in the New York Times, the endless gun control debate has begun again, and nothing will change. And there will be another mass murder. Or, as Chris Salillo's piece in The Fix in The Washington Post is titled, Why the Aurora Shootings Won't Likely Change the Gun Control Debate. Chris joins us now for a look at where we are in that debate. Chris, welcome.
Robin, thanks for having me.
I know you didn't write the headline, but you wrote the piece. And why? Why are you sure that nothing will happen now?
Oh, I wrote the headline, too. I will
take
credit.
Oh, you did? Good. Okay.
That's one benefit of writing a blog where you're the editor. You get to do both. So right. I can't fawn that off on anyone. I would say historically, and sadly, there's a fair amount of recent history as it relates to these high-profile tragedies involving guns. There is some hue and cry in the immediate aftermath of them from gun control advocates, but politicians, by and large, do very little in terms of actual policy changes or policy proposals that get at controlling guns. The reason for that, there are a lot of them, but I would say one driving reason is that the American public's view on whether there should be more gun control or gun restrictions has dropped drastically in the past 20 years or so, if you believe polling, which I do. And there is just no appetite among politicians to pursue something that the people who elect them have no interest in pursuing.
This is fascinating. Tell us about this one Gallup poll in 1990, something like 80% of Americans wanted laws covering the sales of firearms. They wanted more laws. They wanted them to be strict. And where do we go from there, from that 80% in 1990?
You know, it is remarkable. So as you point out, 78% in 1990 in Gallup polling said they would prefer more strict laws. Mm-hmm. That has dropped to 44% in 2011 who want more strict laws. Now, on the other hand, people wanting less strict laws was at 10%. 10% in 1990. Now, I should say less strict or basically the same laws on the books. That number has gone up to 55% now in 2011. So you now – the growth is remarkable, and you now have more people in the country, a majority of people in the country saying they would prefer either less strict gun laws or that the gun laws remain as they are than people who would like it more strict. It is not, Robin, I think, a coincidence that in the early 1990s, President Clinton and the assault weapons ban, gun control was certainly a much more vibrant political issue that was discussed in Congress and at the presidential level, and it has essentially disappeared in the last decade or so.
Well, and has it disappeared because, as people like Dianne Feinstein of California say, a lawmaker is no longer a lawmaker if they take up gun control. The NRA targets them and they are – I'm sorry, poor choice of words. The NRA, launches a campaign against them and they are pushed out of office.
You know, I think it is accurate but a little too facile to say the NRA is solely 100% to blame for the fact that there isn't more gun control legislation in this country. There is no question that the NRA is a powerful lobby. There is no question they have shown a willingness to flex their muscles when people cross them. But I would say there are powerful lobbies on lots of issues who work as hard as they can to make people pay when they are crossed. I don't think the NRA and their powerful lobbying operation explains the Gallup public opinion data that we just went over. Yeah, I mean, the NRA may be powerful, but I'm not sure they can cause that sort of swing in the American public over a 20-year span. So yes, I think the NRA has influence as it relates to legislation being put up or not being put up. But I would also say, look, these legislators have no real incentive to do so, given kind of where public opinion is on this issue.
Well, we'll talk more maybe after the break about why public opinion is where it is on this issue of gun control. And if you missed it, as we just said, it's really dropped from 78 by, I read another analysis, 80% of Americans wanting more gun control just in 1990, and that dropping to something like 44% now. Even after, Chris Saliz, as you note, even after some of the most infamous shootings in this country after Columbine.
Right. It's a remarkable thing, Robin. You know, I went back and I actually wrote – it's sad. I've written something like this before because the recent history in these high-profile gun tragedies is such. We had Columbine. We had Virginia Tech. And then last year we had the attempted assassination of Gabrielle Giffords, a former Arizona congresswoman. I wrote something after that saying, look back at Virginia Tech, look back at Columbine, these two hugely high-profile, hugely tragic events that captured the news for weeks and months. The numbers just barely moved afterward in terms of gun control.
Chris Saliza writes The Fix at The Washington Post. His current piece is entitled Why Aurora and That Horrible Tragedy There Will Not Change Gun Control Laws. We'll talk to him more after a break about why that might be. One reason, gun ownership. Take a minute and think about it. How many Americans do you think own guns? Do you think gun ownership is up or down? We'll take a look at the stats in 1 minute with Chris Saliza here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with Chris Saliza, who writes The Fix at The Washington Post. And by the way, his new book is The Gospel According to The Fix, An Insider's Guide to a Less Than Holy World of Politics. We're talking about the gun control debate, which has been somewhat reignited in the wake of the terrible shootings in Aurora, Colorado. But Chris is one of many saying, you know, nothing's going to happen because of the shooting. And he points to the fact that nothing has happened in the wake of recent shootings. And Chris, you know, you say part of the reason for this is that lawmakers feel maybe they don't have to take it up because public opinion polls show that Americans really have become less in favor of gun control since 1990. I'm wondering what you think of another, perhaps, you know, another reason, perhaps, which is talked about in Politico, the fact that ownership of firearms is at or near all-time lows. You know, people don't own guns as much as maybe they did. And also violence is at a low. And so as one comment said in response to the Politico column, presumably less gun ownership and or less violent crime leads to less fear of being the victim of a gun, which leads to less pressure to control guns.
I think that's a very valid theory. I would say you have two interesting polling trends happening at the same time. You have what we talked about earlier, the public opinion shifting on in favor of less strict or keeping the same laws on the books as it relates to gun control. You also have gun control kind of disappearing as an issue that if you ask, if a pollster asks an open-ended question of, you know, what are the three or four most important issues you think in this election, it'll be the economy, jobs, federal budget, maybe healthcare bumps in there. But gun control will be at 1% or an asterisk. It is just simply that is something that is not a top of the mind issue. It is something we're talking about today. The question is, will we be talking about it in a week or a month? And I think we probably won't.
Well, but the many of the victims of the shootings, one from Virginia Tech and another who's the father of a victim in Columbine, hope that we will. You know, well, go ahead. You were going to say.
No, I would agree, but I would point to the fact that look at what White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said over the weekend. You know, and we are obviously just a few days removed from this tragedy, but he essentially said that the president favors enforcing the laws on the books, that there will not likely be any measurable legislation coming out of this. If the White House is saying that, you know, 72 hours after what happened in Aurora, I just can't imagine them reversing course and making a broad-scale push. And I would add, I'm not sure what that broad-scale push would be. From what we know, James Holmes purchased all four of the guns that he allegedly used in the shooting legally.
Well, guns and also ammunition and online. And so are there sort of subcategories of debate here? Is there, you know, opportunity maybe for a new conversation about purchasing guns and ammunition online?
I think that Robin, is probably the most likely. I think for people who think that this will occasion a sweeping debate over gun control and the place for firearms in our society, my guess is that won't happen. I do think, look, this is a new kind of phenomenon. First of all, the growth of the internet. Second of all, the ability to buy. I will tell you, prior to Friday, I was unaware that you could buy ammunition, much less 6,000 rounds of ammunition online. I think I am not alone in that viewpoint. So I think that those measures, which are not at the periphery, but certainly not at the heart of what role guns should have in this country, I think those issues are possible, that the awareness now being heightened, they will get more attention and maybe get addressed.
Sure. The Associated Press had a great line. When Amazon can track your next book purchase and you have to register to buy allergy medication, you know, some of the stronger medications in the pharmacy, you know, here you have a suspect who spent months stockpiling bullets and head-to-toe ballistic gear without raising, you know, a red flag by doing it online. But, you know, I want to ask you one last thing. He did raise a red flag, at least according to the, I think it's Lead Valley Range in Beers, Colorado. Pardon me if I've got that wrong. But it's a shooting club. And the owner said that the suspect applied to join the club. They called him back several times. And the owner of the club claims now that he was then, when he was calling him back, alarmed by the voice messages that James Holmes had left. He said they were guttural. There was something wrong with them. And he claims now that he eventually told his staff at the shooting club to watch out for Holmes at a July 1st orientation and to not accept him if he came to try to join the shooting club. You know, at the very least, could there be some sort of system where if you think somebody is kind of not quite right and they're coming to join your shooting club, you might be required to tell someone?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of the missing link there is recognizing this seems a little bit out of bounds, and I've read that same report. The question there, though, Robin, I wonder about is having an odd voicemail message, does that necessitate you being reported to authorities? I can tell you privacy advocates will say, look, you have the right to leave whatever kind of odd. I have friends who in my 20s, I'm in my 30s now, but in my 20s when they were single had very odd, they had music playing and very odd messages on their phones. Obviously, in 2020 hindsight, this was a sign that there was something going on with James Holmes that at least would have raised, as you point out, a red flag. It's just difficult. It's a slippery slope of does leaving an odd message that struck a gun range owner as a little bit off. I'm sure he's called other people who have had odd messages and they've never committed anything like this. And so that's what's hard about it is where do you draw the line? Obviously, we would have liked if he had a capacity to report this up the chain to a police officer or something like that as it related to James Holmes. But what about the other folks who are just have odd voicemail messages? And that's kind of always the problem.
Chris Saliza, who writes The Fix at The Washington Post, and his most recent posting, and we'll put it at hereandnow.org, is why, in his opinion, and others are saying the same, the horrible shootings in Aurora, Colorado will not change gun laws, even though the debate briefly gets reignited. Chris's new book is The Gospel According to the Fix, an insider's guide to a less than holy world of politics. Chris, thanks so much.
Please, thank you for having me.
And, you know, we also mentioned Roger Ebert, his piece in the New York Times. We've seen this movie before, talking about the dialogue that's playing out nationally. But he also talks about the movie, The Dark Knight Rises. What role might that have played in the shooting? We'll take that up in the next half hour. You're listening to Here and Now.